I will explain the title of this. So good afternoon, everybody. First, I would like to thank the organizers of this beautiful workshop and also the Fields Institute. And okay. So my talk is considering finitely related algebras. So first, all algebras that I will be talking about will be finite and idempotent. And we call an algebra finitely related if its clone of term operations is precisely the polymorphisms of some finite relational structure. That means finitely many finitary relations. And I will call an algebra NR related if it's the clone of polymorphisms of some relational structure with at most NR relations. And two R related will be called binary related. So absorption. If you have an algebra and a subset of this algebra, we call this subset an absorbing subuniverse. If it is a subuniverse, and there exists some idempotent term operation of this algebra, such that whenever all but one arguments are from B, then the result must be in B, and we use this triangular notation to denote absorbing subset algebras. Here is some example of absorption. An algebra has a near unanimity term if and only if every one element subset is an absorbing subuniverse. If we have a near unanimity term, then what the near unanimity equations tell us is precisely that every one element subset is absorbing with respect to this NU. And if every singleton is absorbing with respect to some term, then we can, in some easy way, compose these terms to obtain a near unanimity. So we have seen this definition of absorption in majority of these talks, and it seems to be a very useful notion when you want to say something about CFPs. But the thing is that we don't know much about their structure. So my result is a tiny part of a project to understand actually what these absorbing subalgebras are. So here is the result. If you have a finite NR related algebra, that means algebra whose term operations are precisely polymorphisms of some NR relational structure, and if this algebra is or generates meets semi-distributive variety, then whenever this algebra has some absorbing subuniverse, then this absorption is actually witnessed by some term of some arity, and this arity is 4 to the a to the size of a to n, so it's doubly exponential in the size of a plus 1. Well, this bound is not optimal, and it would be true even if I deleted the plus 1. Okay. I want to say one thing. So my input in the proof of this result is just a couple of small observations, but since I'm standing on the head of a giant, I can use his diabolically ingenious techniques that he developed for his proof of the fact that every finitely related algebra in a congruent distributive variety has a near unanimity term. And actually this proof that I will present can be easily modified to prove Bartle's theorem. So if you are not interested, or if you don't find this result interesting enough, you can at least follow, and you will see a proof of this one. Okay, so how does the proof go? The idea is actually quite nice. So the first thing is that we can only consider binary related algebras. There is a simple trick that going from an algebra to its kth power, we can get rid of NR relations and end up with just binary relations. This trick is, I believe, by Professor McKenzie. And here's where the little n up there came from. So it's enough to prove for binary related algebra that whenever we have absorption, this absorption is witnessed by some term of RT 4 to a to the size of a plus 1. Okay. So the idea of the proof is this. We construct an instance of CSP of A, which encodes the fact that something is an absorbing term. So its solutions will be precisely KRA terms which absorbs B. And we show that if K is big enough, and here big enough means this double exponential in this size of A, plus one, then actually the instance of this CSP is in some sense consistent enough to have a solution, and this is the key lemma by Bartu, which somehow uses some very smart application of the pigeonhole principle plus some algebraic lemma about absorption. Yes, and here we need the bounded width theorem, so that's where the assumption that A is congruence meets semi-distributive is used. Okay, first, how can we encode the fact that, or how can we encode this absorption as an instance of CSP? So first, we will devise an instance whose solutions are precisely KRA terms of the algebra. So the variables will be just k tuples of elements of A, and we have binary constraints for every two k tuples we connect. So we have some bunch of potatoes. They are labeled by k tuples of elements of A. And we have binary relations on every two potatoes that connects precisely those two elements that are results of some KRA term operation of A. So this is an instance of CSP of A. It can be easily seen. This instance is 2-3 consistent. Actually, every edge can be extended to a full solution just by using the KRA polymorphism, the KRA term operation that was used to create this edge. And its solutions are precisely the KRA term operations of A. Here we use the fact that A is binary related, so if we have some solution, then for every two k tuples of elements of A, it agrees with some KRA term operation. And since the KRA term operations are precisely polymorphisms of some algebra with just of some relational structure with just binary relations, then whenever we have a solution, it actually must be a polymorphism of this algebra, and so it's our term operation. And now we have this instance of CSP, and we know that its solutions are KRA terms, and we would like to isolate these terms which absorbs B. So what we do that whenever we have some potato which has all but one B and some A, then we say that the solution must pick an element here from B. This is precisely what we need to have absorption. So B1 prime, A2 B, C prime. And we form this instance eps of A of A, B, and K just by adding these unary constraints to the original instance. So the variables are, again, k tuples, and the constraints are those constraints that saying that solution must be a KRA term plus these constraints that say that the solution must absorb A into B. And it's an easy exercise to see that the solutions to this instance are precisely the KRA term operation that such that A absorbs B with respect to T. Okay, what do we do next? Yes, we use some useful fact about absorption, which is now like a standard technique of Libor and Marcin. So our instance eps of A of B of K is actually a restriction of the instance that encodes KRA terms to absorbing subpotatoes. In every potato we picked some subset which is either B or the whole thing, so it's always an absorbing subpotato. And we like that. We know that whenever we have some instance and we restrict to absorbing subpotatoes, it has some nice properties, and the nice property that we use is this one. So this is a standard technique which basically was developed to prove the bounded width theorem. Whenever we have some 2-3 consistent instance of CSP of some SD-meet algebra, and we restrict in every variable to some absorbing subuniverse, then if every tree is realizable inside these absorbing subsets, then the restricted instance has a solution. What do I mean by realization of trees? So we have some undirected tree, and we label it by the variables. So this will be like one tuple, another tuple, another tuple, and so on. And we want to find elements of we want to assign elements inside these absorbing potatoes to the vertices of this tree, so that whenever here is an edge, we must have an edge here. So this is a realization of trees inside absorbing sub potatoes. Yes. So then if we can have this, we actually have a smaller instance inside some possibly smaller absorbing subuniverses, and we know that since a 2-3 consistent instance is a Prague strategy, and this we can find a 1-2 minimal instance inside, so we can absorb the thing to have to get a Prague strategy inside the absorbing sets, and in an SD-meet algebra, every Prague strategy has a solution. So it's enough to prove that every tree is realizable inside these absorbing subsets, and know that every tree with at most k minus one vertices is realizable by some projection operations. Since this tree has less than k vertices, it uses less than k potatoes, so it cannot go through more than k potatoes of this form, some b, one a, some b, and so it's enough actually to use a projection on that coordinate, that in none of these potatoes we have a on that coordinate, and this projection gives us a realization of this tree. Yes, the crucial step basically the only hard part of the proof is this ingenious lemma by Bartel, that if you can realize all big enough trees, then you can realize every tree. And so the lemma can be stated as this: whenever we have a 2-3 consistent instance of CSP and some family of absorbing subuniverses, if we can realize all trees with at most 4 to the a to the size of a vertices inside these potatoes, then we can actually realize all trees inside these potatoes. And this property doesn't depend on the algebra. It can be arbitrary algebra. We just need the absorption with respect to this algebra. So how do you prove this fact? You suppose for contradiction that there is some huge tree which is not realizable, but every smaller tree is realizable. And then this tree must actually have a long path. So here's why we need a double exponential size in the size of A, because we need to have a path which is exponentially long. And now you use the pigeonhole principle to find a certain configuration, some algebra which with some two absorbing some binary relations, and you can prove that this cannot happen if the SXs are absorbing subuniverses. Okay. I thought I had too much slides, but what's the time? 15 minutes. Okay. So this talk will be short. Hopefully everybody will be happy. So some open problems in this area. So Bartel asked some problems about these properties or existence of absorbing subalgebras, and one of them is the following: given a finite relational structure A and a subset, is it decidable if this subset is an absorbing subuniverse of the algebra polymorphisms of A? And our result yields a positive answer if the algebra polymorphisms is congruence meets semi-distributive. So this is, for example, if our structure is a core, then being SD-meet is the same as having bounded width. And another related problem, given a finitely presented, that means finitely many operations given by their tables. So given a finite algebra and a subset, is it decidable if this subset is an absorbing subalgebra? So we don't know much about these problems. Yes, and one problem by me. So our proof gives an absorbing term of arity double exponential on the size of the algebra. So I can partially answer that first problem by giving an algorithm which just goes through all these k-r terms, but the k is very huge. And it this 4 to the a to the size of a could be improved, but it seems like it cannot, or this approach can't get rid of the double exponential bound. So the question is whether there is some better bound. I didn't think about that much. I think I can prove that the lower bound is linear in the size of the algebra, but I have no idea if there's some better than double exponential. Okay, that's it. So thank you for your attention. I haven't checked it through, but I think I can decide one just if a one element set is absorbing, in case the algebra has few subpowers. And it actually uses this result of McKenzie and Petar Markovic. So you can somehow, if you have some absorbing term, you can form like something like a Johnson chain for this absorption, and you can use some trick to make this chain shorter. But that only works for one element absorption, and it's far from being some good theorem. Thank you.